This morning's scripture reading is in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll be starting with verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water.
Thank you, Morgan. Good morning. Do you believe? Do you believe what Jesus did matters? Do you believe that you, as a child of God, can get into the Holy of Holies? A place that nobody else could get into under the previous contract. You're here this morning because you believe, or because your mother made you come, so that you will believe. Or maybe you're here because you're hurting and you need some assistance. Or maybe you're here because life isn't as easy as we would like it to be, and we need help to get to heaven. In Hebrews chapter 10, we come to the realization in the first four verses that no blood of an animal could ever cleanse the heart and the soul of an individual, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So then in the rest of the chapter leading through to verse 19, it's this thought. Jesus said, "I'll do it. Here am I. Send me." You don't want sacrifices. You don't want burnt offerings. Take me. That's the point that he makes in verses 5 through 18. And in regard to that, we look at what was accomplished in verses 12, 13, and 14. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Based upon that, based upon his priesthood, his sacrifice, based upon the contract, the covenant that comes along with that, we have a strong faith and a confidence, not in ourselves, but in God, who allows us to serve at his tabernacle or at his temple, which really is us today. Now, the imagery in verses 19, 20, and 21 are very important. I didn't understand really until I've been doing some more study on Hebrews, getting ready for our men's class. But I'm also trying to get things prepared for a Sunday morning class on the sacrificial system. And I came to realize that when I've read these verses before, I've missed some things. So I want to turn back to the book of Leviticus into chapter 8. He talks about let us come near to God. Let us draw near because of some things that have happened. In chapter 8 of Leviticus, I would read the whole chapter, but I don't have time today. But in Leviticus 8, I want to read some specific verses. And what you find in Leviticus chapter 8 is that the tribe of Levi, Aaron and his sons, are anointed and ordained to serve at the temple or at the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the assembly, "This is what the Lord has commanded to be done." Then Moses brought Aaron and his sons forward and washed them with water. He put the tunic on Aaron, tied the sash around him, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him. He also tied the ephod to him by its skillfully woven waistband so that it was fastened on him. He placed the breastpiece on him and put the Urim and the Thummim in his breastpiece. Then he placed the turban on Aaron's head and set the gold plate, the sacred diadem, on the front of it, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and everything in it, and so consecrated them. He sprinkled some of the oil on the altar 7 times, anointing the altar and all its utensils and the basin with its stand to consecrate them. He poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Then he brought forward Aaron's sons, put tunics on them, tied sashes around them, and put headbands on them as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now drop down to verse 23. Moses slaughtered the ram and took some of its blood and put on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Moses also brought Aaron's sons forward and put some of the blood on the lobes of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet. Then he sprinkled blood against the altar on all sides. And then drop down to verse 33. Do not leave the entrance to the tent of meeting for 7 days until the days of your ordination are completed, for your ordination will last 7 days. What has been done today was commanded by the Lord to make atonement for you. You must stay at the entrance to the tent of meeting day and night for 7 days and do what the Lord requires, so you will not die. For that is what I have been commanded. So Aaron and his sons did everything the Lord commanded through Moses. Now, you might say that doesn't have much to do with Hebrews chapter 10, but it does. When he said, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus," he's talking about the sacrifice that enabled us to get into the Holy of Holies. By a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Those verses remind us of the ordination of Aaron and his sons. Their bodies were washed with pure water. Their bodies were sprinkled with blood, all apart to enter into the service of God. So what you have pictured here in Hebrews chapter 10 is you have a picture of preparation, that God's people are getting prepared to enter into the most glorious worship that there will ever be. And he's talking about you and I worshiping at the feet of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's talking about us today, but the imagery reminds us of Aaron and his sons when they were installed into the service of God. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, he wants us to realize you and I are filling this role. No longer is it the tribe of Levi. You and I are filling this role. And so what he is trying to get us to understand is we, through our sanctification, are prepared to serve at the temple. Now what that means is that we are all priests of God. In the book of 1 Peter, in the 2nd chapter, he said in verses 4 and 5, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So what he's talking about today when he looks at these verses, or when he presents these verses to you and me, is we cannot forget that we have been sanctified. We, like they were set apart for this specific task of fulfilling the roles of worship. You and I have been sanctified. We have been set apart to have our lives be consecrated to God so that we also can fill specific roles of purpose in worship. Now, what that means is that our sanctification is not hit and miss. We've been sanctified for the rest of our lives. We've been called to come together every time the Lord's people meet. And yes, there are times when weather does not permit that. But we have an obligation to God that our commitment to Him comes before things that we want to do on the Lord's day. If we don't see it that way, then we're not seeing the picture that the Bible gives us. We have this obligation because we are sanctified, that we have been set apart from the world and we have been set apart to God in the same way that they were. Now, in Exodus chapter 30, turn in your Bibles back to Exodus chapter 30. In verses 17 through 21, there was this big basin. There are some people that will come in from time to time and use our building for a wedding. We've used the building a few times for some karate graduations. And I've had people come over and say, "Is that a swimming pool?" Because they didn't know what it was. I said, "Well, we couldn't give very good swimming lessons in there." But no, that's not a swimming pool. That's a baptistry. That's where people are immersed to have their sins washed away. And I even told them about how that when we were in Andover, we had well water and it would circulate through to keep it warm. And there was all this sediment down at the bottom of the baptistry. And little kids used to ask me, "What is that?" And I'd say, "Oh, that's sin." Because when you go in the water and you're put under the water, your sin's washed away. Then I would tell them, "Well, actually, that's not sin. That's just sediment from the water, but God has washed our sins away." Now, there is a figure likened unto a baptistry in the Old Testament. And it's found right here in Exodus chapter 30. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting an offering made to the Lord by fire, they shall wash their hands and feet so that they will not die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants for the generations to come." So when they came together, they were to wash themselves. They were to be prepared. They were to present holy hands to God when they came near. God didn't want any sin in their lives. God didn't even want them treading in the world of sin and then bringing that in the same way that God does not want us bringing worldly things in to His congregation, into worship. God wants things that are holy and things that are sanctified. Now, turn a few pages over to Exodus chapter 40. We want to start reading at verse 30. "He placed the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it for washing. And Moses and Aaron and his sons used it to wash their hands and feet. They washed whenever they entered the tent of meeting or approached the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses." Now, aren't you glad that we don't have a brazen basin sitting outside the doors in weather like this? So that you don't have to wash like they had to wash. But brethren, we have been washed. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. In fact, the Bible teaches us that when we were baptized in Romans chapter 6, look with me to verses 3 and 4. When we were baptized, this washing was much better than any washing that a basin could ever do, because something amazing happened. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, that's our death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We've been washed one time for all time, don't need to be washed again. And so God has sanctified our hearts, God has cleansed our lives, God has washed away our sins. He's not only cleansed our hands, but He's cleansed our minds. He's cleansed the soul of the individual. So then, we have every right then to draw near to God. Because the way to the Holy of Holies is open. And here you and I, when we come together on the Lord's Day, it's like a bunch of priests coming together with ourselves being prepared to fulfill the roles that God has given us. And that's the picture, that's the imagery that is given in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. But we must remember three things. When we come together, first of all, it's because we have a sincere heart full of assurance of faith. We don't come here because we've been made to come here. We come here because of the sincerity of our giving ourselves to God, as we did on that day many years ago for me, July 29th, 1979. We are here because of this sincerity. Now, that doesn't mean that I feel that sincerity. That means I live up to the sincerity. I live up to the commitment that I made years ago when I gave myself to Jesus Christ. I'm sincere about that. And I may not feel like having been here today, but I'm here because I made a commitment. Just like you and I, those of us who are married, we made a commitment to an individual that we're going to honor that commitment for the rest of our lives, even when we get wrinkled, bald, fat, and ugly. I'm sorry, if. If all those things happen, and if I have to walk with the walker, I want to come anyway. And I've tried to encourage people that if you can't walk in here, we'll get you a wheelchair. Because nothing should keep us from God. Just like Franny's sitting in a wheelchair there, and Betty's sitting in a wheelchair there, and Beth is sitting in a wheelchair there, and when Dean can be here, he's sitting in a wheelchair. But it's because of our commitment. That's why we want to get here. Two, our hearts have been sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. We're free. That doesn't mean that we're free to do whatever we want to do. It means we're free from the past. We don't carry that baggage anymore. That train doesn't run. We're free. We are free from our sins. We are free to serve God. So let's serve God. Third thing, our bodies have been washed with pure water. Again, the symbol of baptism. So what does God want of this? Want of us then? Well, verse 22, He wants us to draw near. He wants us to get close. And maybe you're closer to God today than you were last year. If you are, praise God for that. But if not, let's make a choice and turn around and get closer to God again. So we understand that we have a high priest. And in Hebrews chapter 10, that really is the point that he's making when he says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus..." And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let's draw near. There is, number one, the recognition that we have a high priest. We serve under him. He is head. He is decision maker. He is the leader of the church. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verses 22 and following, it says, because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Our purpose is to come together and glorify God because of our priest. To glorify God through that priest, which means I'm going to participate in this relationship. Any of you want to be married to somebody who's not in it? I mean, who doesn't want to be married, who doesn't want to come home, who doesn't want to show love, who doesn't want to forgive, who doesn't want to go through the physical things of a physical relationship such as marriage? Anybody want to be married to somebody like that? If you do, you're weird. But you know what? I know some people who are married to people like that. And it breaks their heart that they're married to people like that. And somebody might even say, well, I'm stuck with somebody like that. Well, sometimes we men aren't the brightest individuals. Now, I'm not talking about all of you, but I'm talking about some of us. Sometimes we're not the brightest individuals, and sometimes, I don't know about women, but sometimes they aren't either. Sometimes decisions are made that shouldn't be made, and individuals are neglected that should not be neglected. In James chapter 4, James commands us in verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. It's the exaltation of our priest. And so God wants us to participate in drawing near. God wants us to participate in the recognition of our high priest. God wants us to participate in the relationship that we have as Christians, but also God wants us to participate in worship. Not that we just sing the songs. Not that we just listen to the prayer. Not that we just hear God's word. Not that we just put part of ourselves in the collection tray. Not just that we remember the bread as the body and the fruit of the vine as the blood. But he wants our participation. He wants us to give the very best that we can in our worship service. And so then, the Hebrew writer once again says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. That's talking about the church. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. He's saying it's about time for us to remember that we're God's priesthood. That we are priests of the living God. And when you go back, I hope that you'll go back and read. I know that some of you have said that you're not in great love with the new daily Bible reading program because you're reading this and this and this and this and this. And then you go back the next day and you read this and this. Just read the Bible. But please go back and read. When you read Leviticus chapter 8, God's people were getting ready for worship in chapter 9. And then the people in chapter 9 were all prepared and they entered into worship. And in the midst of that worship service, in Leviticus chapter 10, when it was time for Nadab and Abihu to come in and to do what God wanted them to do, to offer up incense so that the prayers of those people would go up to God, they came in and broke the commandments and the respect of God by not giving Him what He deserves. You go back and read Leviticus 8, 9, and 10 and see if that isn't what happens in the very first worship service under the Mosaic Law. Here we are today, we're serving under a better system than they ever did. We get close to God. We get to go in and worship with God and fellowship with God and have this relationship with God that they could never have. And yet sometimes we find some of ourselves complacent. Where we'll give more time to other things than to God. God did not save us so that He could become second place in our lives. That has never been about that. God deserves His place, and it's on the throne. So we've got to remember, as Hebrews 10 paints us this beautiful picture, we are ready for worship. We have been sanctified as God's priests. We have been prepared as God's priesthood. And therefore, we have the opportunity to enter in to the most precious thing that there is on the face of this earth, worship with God. Glad you're here this morning. Wouldn't want you any other place. But I hope that as we think about these things, we'll take a look at ourselves and not look at the person sitting beside us and say, what can I do to get my life better? If you're here this morning and you're asking that question and you have never been baptized into Christ, if you believe He is the Son of God, you're ready to make that next step and to commit yourselves to God so that you'll be consecrated, so that you can be ready to serve as a high priest or as a priest under the high priest of Jesus. If you believe He is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're ready to be baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away, to be a recipient of the Holy Spirit and to be added to the church by God Himself, we'll be so proud to take the time to sit here quietly or sit here singing while you're baptized into Christ. But if you're a Christian and somehow you have forgotten that you're a priest, may you be reminded today and may you repent and turn back to God. So again, we can draw near to God in full assurance of faith. Because we believe. That's why we're here. If we can assist you, we invite you to respond as this invitation song is being sung. Come while we stand and sing.